Man United. It's very difficult for me to give. I can't decide what grade to give. I'm going to give Jose Mourinho a B-.
B-, eh?
Because he didn't finish top four.
No.
And he... and look, some of those performances were horrible. Yeah. Yes, we were undefeated. Undefeated for so many games. Like, that matters. But 15 draws.
There's a lot of draws.
That is how you do... That is how you ruin a season. Look, they lost only 5 games all season, which is the same number as Chelsea.
Yeah, I know.
And only Spurs have lost less games than they have. Our defensively, only Spurs has got a meaner defense than Man United. Sorry, Spurs and Chelsea are the only teams that have a meaner defense.
Yeah.
So the but
no, just Spurs. Chelsea had 33.
Yeah.
Against.
Yeah, and Spurs had 26
compared to 29 for United.
Yeah. And United the only 54 goals. Can you? About that, there are teams, the AFC Burnham had scored more goals than they did. Everton scored more goals than they did, and every other team in the top seven, top six have scored more goals than they did. That stat tells you exactly what was wrong with the season. I mean, it's not that I don't mind if Man United lose games or concede soft goals to draw games. But you want to see Man United play like Man United. Yeah. I'm happy with a Man United team that finishes sixth. Oh, I am willing to accept a Man United team that finishes sixth that scores like 80 goals in a season and be like, okay, we're still a fun team. You know, I get something out of watching United play those games. if we're going to be crap, why are we also defensive? You know? But, you know, that's what we were getting when we got Jose Mourinho as our coach. He was always going to try and focus on that first. And I don't think he has done a good job. United conceded many... United's defense reads really great. It's 29. But, well, how many of those games... how many of those goals conceded were the equalizers in the last minute? Because they're terrible at holding up games and terrible at defending comfortably and just losing the plot. So they look defensively weak to me. Of those 15 draws, I think at least 10 of them were because we conceded late in the game, late in the season.
Late in the game, yeah.
Which is a sign of a weak defense.
Sign of weak resolve as well, which is the thing you don't really associate with United. Yeah. You know, they're the team that's. They do it the other way around, you know, where they find those last-minute goals to draw or to win.
I don't think United's come... there's going to be very few games this season that United's come back from behind to win.
I know.
Even under Louis van Gaal, we did that a few times in the season. I can't think of a single great escape, last-minute comeback from United this season.
To me, that's definitely something that Jose doesn't really do. He is a score first, set the lead... Hit on the counter from then on.
That is Jose's way, and he's been successful with that. But yeah. I feel like that is so 2016. It's just, like it is already that tactic is already obsolete.
It wasn't even 2016; it was 2015. So we won using it,
and it's worked. Well enough against some of the weaker teams and softer teams, and you're basically expecting to out-resolve the other and that's a great tactic if your team has better resolve and more morale than your opposition, but unfortunately, United does not.
Apparently
not. And a lot of that has to come down to your coach, players having confidence in the coach's plan, which I don't think a lot of United players do.
Yeah.
So Jose is in this weird position where, yes, we've made the Champions League, we've won an EFL, so 2 trophies.
Yeah. Three if you count the Charity Shield.
But I don't. I think he's got a tenuous grip on the players and whether they support him. Especially, he has given some of the youth players a chance, which is good.
Yeah.
But he's not given a chance to other youth players. So, I don't know. I have this theory, and a lot of my other football friends agree with me. American-owned football clubs in Europe just do not do well.
No.
If you've got, and the only reason Man United did as well as it did in the Glazier era was because they had Alex Ferguson.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you, I think the fact, the results from a post Sir Alex Ferguson, like, if there's a club that should be the easiest to run as a championship winning machine, it should be Man United.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And the fact that they're not just shows that there are deep problems in the club.
Yeah.
And it's not going to go away until the ownership changes.
No.
So I don't know how, if there's going to be a resurgence next season. I will be happy with the top four, but I'm not expecting it.
Yeah.
Maybe we can win the Europa League again next season after dropping out early in the Champions League at some point.
Well, yeah, if you lose out in the...
in the group stage.
Group stage, you go to the...
Yeah, and if you lose out in the first knockout stage, you also go into the...
Yeah, well, there you go. Got two chances.
There's two chances to go into the Europa League if we don't do well in the UCL. So there we go. That's going to be, I think, our aim next season. Everton. We're not going to go to every team in as much detail because... But Everton, do deserve it.
Yeah.
61 points, so they're technically a competitor in that top six finish.
Yeah.
Literally, they were always safe in getting a top six.
Or top seven.
And once again, I think they just need to shore up by a few players. Like, there was always problems because players were uncertain, people were going after them.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a bit of that in the off-season, but I think Ronald Koeman actually knows what he's doing with Everton. He's an experienced Premiership manager. And he's got tactical nous. He's got that training from Ajax, and he's always shown it. So if Everton do end up selling Ross Barkley and Lukaku, mm-hmm. that's at least $100 million quid in your bank.
At least. I think that would be... I might even be a little upset with only $100 million for those.
Everton have shown they sell well. I would not be surprised if it's $150 million. Million.
Yeah, no, I would not be surprised.
75 million for Lukaku at Chelsea. I would take that deal as a Chelsea manager.
I think they almost would.
United would happily take that deal.
Yeah, there's a few others that would. I think Chelsea would, they wouldn't not take the deal, but that would be the bit where they'd be like, what else can we get?
At the moment,
anything? Like, no, yeah, you're right, fine.
75 million is a fair price for a player like Lukaku because Chelsea's not the only club that wants Lukaku.
No, exactly.
There's at least a Tottenham Hotspur and a Man United. Tottenham Hotspur may not need another striker, but a Man United would happily go in for the kill and try and get Lukaku. Even Arsenal might try for it.
I think we've been in the 50 to 60 million range the last few years when we've been offering, I think. Starts in the 30s and Everton laugh at us. We've been able to get up to around 50. And I think last year it might have been 60, at least, you know, $60 odd million. So, I mean, I think their price is somewhere around the 80 for him just because they're like, this is, you're not going to go this high, so we're not going to sell him, but we'll stick a ridiculous number on it.
We'll keep it here at 80, and look, if you don't do it, you know Man United will. And like, Chelsea,
That's going to be the difference this year, I think, is that at some point the other ones are just going to go, you know what? No, that's a good enough deal. We'll take him. That's goals for us. And so, yeah, where the Chelsea just goes, fine, we'll pay the ridiculous fee or not. They seem to be balking at it for the last couple of seasons.
They've been very, very astute in the transfer market. Maybe he won't. Maybe Conte has another plan
we'll see.
That striking department. But, yeah. But Everton, like some club, if they keep Lukaku brilliant,
yeah.
Because they're not going to be unhappy about keeping him and not getting 80 million because that's like 20 plus goals in a season.
Oh, exactly. I'd say he's around 70-80% of their goal scoring is Lukaku. So
and
they don't really want to get rid of him.
And I assume he will be at least 40 points in the season. Like it'll be his goals that make that difference. Like,
oh, exactly. That's
so,
what I mean.
You can't put a 80 million is a, now that I thought about 75 is a very, it's a bargain offer almost, and 80 is actually probably a fair offer. Ross Barkley is, he's a good operator, he's a good midfield player, he fills a hole in a lot of those teams. Can you imagine Conte with Barkley? United would basically would need to have a player like him and Ander Herrera behind Pogba. So many ways he's usable, and City are in there for him as well. Once again, 50 million was like a starter price, and Everton do not have to sell. I don't think there is a buyout. I'm not sure what the buyout clause money is, if there is one.
No.
So I think Everton could easily also get 75 to 80 million for him. So, and once again, if they don't sell him, I don't think they'll be unhappy.
No, no, exactly. So, I don't see that's. I mean, they're putting a high price on them so that if they somebody does come along and actually buy them, then you know they got plenty of money to go shopping for the replacements. But I think Everton would prefer to keep those two guys.
And I think if those two guys stay and they do not have to replace them immediately, then Everton they know what they need to buy. They need to buy a few more versatile defenders to back to replenish the squad, a few other midfield players in there,
yeah.
And maybe another look for another striker within the Lukaku, someone yeah. who is the backup to Lukaku and someone who is going to be like to come in and be a replacement who can kind of carry your attack forward. He might be a completely different type of player to what Lukaku
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah.
But you need basically somebody who can be a focus of an attack. So Everton, if they buy astutely in the season, and regardless of whether they keep those two players in their team or not, a lot to be hopeful for. I don't think there's I think there's just too much quality in the rest of the top seven teams to have a top four finish, but easily yeah. another Europa spot. I don't know if they should. If Everton can go past three or four rounds in the, if they could get to three or four rounds into the Europa League and get into the knockout rounds, they should focus on the Europa League and try and win it. Once again, it's a guaranteed
Champions League spot.
So whoever finishes, and if another English team were to win a Champions League, win the Champions League, that would mean that whoever finishes fourth misses out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So winning fourth does not guarantee you a Champions League necessarily. Well, it's very unlikely, I think, for
an
English team
to win
the Champions League at this stage. I don't think any of the current top five teams that are qualifying next season have enough in them to win the Champions League.
No,
unless they get a very favourable draw and get extremely
lucky. Very favourable, good things. And maybe like if we're, for some reason, tanking a little bit in the Premier League, you know, then we...
A la Chelsea 2012.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Chelsea 2012, exactly that.
That's the model to follow. Like,
yeah, that might be the
or
chance.
Or what Leicester could have done this season if
they almost did.
Almost did, yeah.
That was. I found that heartbreak.
Yeah.
They did very well.
But yeah, Everton, I'm A-. Given resources and change of manager and everything else.
I think that's a fair call for them.
Southampton. And once again, good season. There's problems at the club because everybody rates their players, and I don't even know if Claude Puel has shown to be a good manager, but they may not be able to keep Claude Puel. He might go to Arsenal. Or another team. So Southampton, difficult to say. Once again, difficult to say. They've had a good season.
Better than what their preseason sort of indicated.
As we said
at the beginning of the year, they were sort of falling apart. Backroom was completely in shambles.
There's only so many, as Sunderland have proven, there's only so many times you can fall apart and have somebody rebuild you. Southampton are lucky that their infrastructure is brilliant. Like, whatever happens, the people behind and controlling the club, manager leaves, tons of players leave, they still are able to buy the right players, put the right people in the right position. So something in the club is done correctly.
Yeah, no, that's what I had faith in that at the beginning of the season, that whilst they were... there were some rather large cracks there that they had the Mr. Fix-Its to...
I think Southampton can aim for getting a European place next season. They should at least aim for that. Top 10 finishes well within their grounds. So we expect that from Southampton these days.
Exactly.
Bournemouth, A+. Eddie Howe, brilliant season.
It's ridiculous. Ninth place, I mean, really.
Wonderful, wonderful season. Well deserved. The players played brilliantly. They just need to not lose too many players in the off season, which they shouldn't, because they're going to have a lot of prize money and a lot of TV money. Whatever improvements need to be made at the club in the back room, I think, are already being done. The organization has shown to be very resilient and know what they're doing. And Eddie Howe's a great coach, unless he gets poached by Arsenal. Wait, once again, we have to say there's the big elephant in the room.
Yeah,
Like Arsene Wenger's not yet fired, and but that is the only thing I can see, like, throwing a spanner in their works, because which point I think Bournemouth would just poach Paul from Southampton.
Yeah.
In that sort of world now.
Yeah, exactly. The question would come down with, would Arsenal, what sort of manager Arsenal would be looking for? And what would they be looking, and they should be looking for a competent manager, which either of these two would fill that. But
also a manager who knows the Premiership. They can't bring in an outsider and do what a Conte or what Arsene Wenger did 20 years ago. Yeah. Because we've seen the opposite go horribly wrong. Like, look at Pep Guardiola or Klopp, so.
I know. There's good examples that people think of, but. So it depends on Arsenal. Do they want to have the managers actually get in there, do the work and do it, but might not have the big sparkly stars and headlights around it that they can.
I don't think they can afford a Barkley stars headlights player. They need someone who knows what they're doing.
I think so too, but do they know that is my question.
But I think Arsenal's infrastructure is better than United's. Half the time I'm not sure what the United board are even thinking. Arsenal do have a plan. Solidity, they know what they want, and they have that financial stability now that a lot of clubs do not. Arsenal long-term, no problems. Even medium-term, it's just short-term.
It's very short-term.
Short-term problems.
Anyway.
Next team, West Bromwich. Do we expect anything less than a 10th place finish from West Bromwich Albion these days?
I think it's probably actually a little low for them.
It's Tony Pulis. You know they're never going to get relegated. He's always shown himself to be a good manager. They just need to figure out if they could ever figure out a way to consistently get goals and win games with because that goal defense is atrocious. Goal difference is atrocious. But they should, once again, Bromwich, I don't expect them to finish anything less than 10th place next season. They may do well in one of the cups and even win them. They should really be aiming for a European spot. Every year that Bromwich doesn't qualify for Europe should be something Tony Pulis should be disappointed about.
Yes, I think.
I think he's he should be thinking of himself as that level of manager now.
Yeah. I think they're this year's shown that they're still a bit too far off that, but I think that's definitely a goal to be aiming for.
West Ham. Disappointing West Ham season. Yeah. C, because they're nowhere near relegation, but these are really low standards we're holding West Ham up to.
I know.
They were a great team, Nick, last season. If it weren't for Leicester,
the year before that as well.
And if it weren't for Leicester, they would be the story of last season.
Yeah, exactly.
West Ham, third season syndrome, it seems. I can't. I'm sure with Slaven Bilic is a good manager, he'll recover. Ups and downs. West Ham are the kind of, and they've just moved to their new stadium, and they're having a lot of trouble trying to get that fan atmosphere, which also happened with Arsenal at Emirates at the beginning.
It's one of those
new
things.
Stadiums are a thing, and it might take a few seasons for West Ham to get used to them. But in that time, I don't think West Ham will get relegated. I doubt West Ham will be a relegation struggler next season.
No.
But I think they may still be a mid-table, not even in the top 10.
I'm going to say that I'd expect them to be the top 10, but then I've said everybody above them is also, I'd expect them to be in the top 10 next year.
One team has to drop out.
Yeah, I would expect them to be, and I'm going to extend that to probably the next two teams down. They are struggling, but they're a better team than where they are.
Yeah. And then we've got Leicester, who had champions last season, so you're always going to run hiding to nothing. I don't want to be too mean to them.
No.
They managed to be very comfortably not relegated in the end, and they did a really good job in the Champions League.
Well, they only ended off... I think actually they ended reasonably far off where we expect them 7th.
Yeah.
But we thought top 8. They only ended off two points off top 8. So
I'd give them a middle C. No minus, no plus.
Yeah, I think a straight C is probably a fair enough call for them. I mean,
But
they did have a great season last year. You'd expected them to be able to kick. We expected them to be able to kick on. We thought they had the team. Lost Kante, sure, but it turns out that losing Kante was a bigger deal than we anticipated.
Losing Kante is a huge deal.
We expected it to be a huge deal. It was just a bigger deal than we expected.
Yeah. Look, Leicester next season, they're no longer starting off as champions. That's going to be a huge weight off their shoulders, I think. No European football. They still have a bulk of that squad around them. They just need to buy a few players here and there. And I think Leicester could easily go back into the top 10. Might even get a European spot. I don't think they will struggle for relegation next season.
No. With just the right buys and getting it back, I could see them having another good run again and being looking at, say, European football. Or finishing Europe in the Europe spots. So.
Or, like, winning one of the cups.
Or winning one of the cups or something like that, yeah.
Stoke City, a disappointing season for them. They made so much progress in the last few seasons as well. Under Mark Hughes. I think Mark Hughes is on borrowed time. The manager, he's never been a tactically astute manager, and I think that's proving the difference in the Premiership with each passing season. Every team is becoming more and more tactically complex, and they're all focusing on little bits here and there to bring out big improvements. I don't know if Stoke have the infrastructure to support a coach like that. I don't know if Mark Hughes is a coach like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think he's got one season to show what he can do. But he may, even if he does okay next season, I don't think he'll last very long.
I think the only thing which is showing up here is that, like, Stoke's 13th, Southampton's 8th. There was 2 points between those two teams. So, you know, that's five teams there's covered within 2 points. That's a reasonably close...
That is a close middle gap.
Middle gap there. It's not a lot of there.
In the top 10. A few drop points here and there. But of all the teams in that top 13, shall we say, from 8 to 13, I think all the those other teams are currently led by better managers than Stoke.
Yeah.
Which is what's the difference, because I think Stoke's team is potentially better than a lot of those other teams.
But.
And Stoke's organization, clearly the club has ambition. That's why they got rid of Tony Pulis, which we all lambasted at the time. Basically, they went, look, Tony Pulis brought us up to the ceiling, which he can no longer push forward to.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, it was good for Pulis as well, because he actually had to grow as a manager and become who he is now.
Exactly. And I mean, up to last season, Stoke did reasonably well. They've been doing well for the last few seasons. Yeah. This is perhaps, once again, a low point for them.
But I think eventually, if Mark Hughes doesn't show, like, a way to make Stoke better than what they are now, Stoke will get rid of him when his contract runs out and replace it with another coach who they think can do it.
Yes, exactly.
Crystal Palace. At some point looked like they were going to be struggling, but in the end, comfortably not in the relegation zone.
Yeah.
Sam Allardyce, obviously they were never going to be relegated. Once again, they don't have a manager next because Big Sam has retired. Don't have a manager next season. I think whoever comes in always has a bit of a difficult job at Crystal Palace. They're a lovely club. The organization's great, but they're somehow always unlucky with their manager situation. So whoever comes in, takes over Crystal Palace, is going to have a lot of work, but they're definitely a club worth managing, and being a London club and being in the Premiership, there's always going to be enough money to keep a good squad in place. I don't think they're going to have too many problems. They're going to have too many problems next season. They might have a bit of a relegation struggle, but I think they will survive if they are in that relegation battle. Swansea, how many more? Are Swansea the new Sunderland?
Apparently. They might turn that way. I was surprised that they got out by as much as they did in the end.
Once again, the Swansea's organisation are smart. They seem to have terrible managers come and go and terrible players, and yet somehow right players at the right time seem to come in and do the right things. Something the Swansea are a wily club. I don't think they're going to be relegated, but I think they're going to be in that part of that relegation struggle.
Yeah, I think, yes, I'd agree. I think just because they do something wonderful in the off-season, I don't see them being, the next season going much different to this season.
Burnley, Sam Dyche manages to keep them up.
That's amazing.
Great, great performance. Yeah. I have to give him at least a B+.
Oh yeah, no, it's amazing.
Given his resources and what he's got in place, great, great performance, good team all around. Too bad a lot of their players are going to get bought, and potentially their manager as well.
Yeah.
So we do not know what's going to be in store for Burnley next season until we know where they've bought. But it's hard to see them not struggle in the relegation battle. I don't know if they will be relegated, but
they seem to have managed to keep away from it for the last little bit, so...
Yeah, and then finally Watford, they just managed to not be relegated, I think. In the end, like, it looked more comfortable than it actually was.
Yeah, no, it is definitely more. It was 6 points in the end, but
they seem to always have a problem with keeping a manager for more than a season. But whoever comes in seems to always do well enough and then get picked by another club too.
They're your entry level into the Premier League as a manager. You come in,
but Watford's owners know what they're doing. Like they own. They own a club in the Serie A, whose name escapes me now. But they know what they're doing. They know how to get a small-ish team into a big competitive position. And Watford, I would not be surprised if they did really well next season, because they also know how to buy players. Udinese, yes, that is the club that they own. And Udinese are famous for being a team which buys good players really young, sells them for a lot of money, but still manages to somehow keep a good core of players around. And I think Watford are the same. Even if they were to get relegated next season, I could easily see them come back up after very quickly. Hull, very unlucky. I think given all the problems they had in the club, they're always going to be relegated. And you can't give any team that's been relegated more than a D. I might give them a D+.
Yeah, they were unlucky.
And Middlesbrough and Sunderland, we don't... at least if Newcastle weren't being promoted into the Premiership next season, there would be no North East clubs in the Premiership anymore. But Middlesbrough, you came, you saw, you did not conquer.
No.
And Sunderland, well,
it was a great escape too far. One great escape too far.
Way too far. Look, there's been some great times, but Sunderland, you made that relegation battle so wonderful to watch. Yeah. I am actually sad to see you go, but I fully expect you guys to come back up into the Premiership next season. Like there's no issue. Now, just to follow on from that, we are going to look at the...
English League Championship,
To look at the teams in the Championship that are potentially going to come up. Obviously, Newcastle and Brighton are already here. And fantastic. We always expected Newcastle
to come straight back. Yeah, that's why I wasn't really clapping him, because it's like, well...
That was always going to happen. And Brighton, wonderful. It's good to see, and they will be in the money. As they go into Premiership, even if they stay for a season, that could make that club a big difference to that club. Now we have Reading, Sheffield Wednesday,
Huddersfield,
and Fulham.
Yeah,
I know we both like Sheffield Wednesday, and we'd love for them to come.
I'd love for them to come up.
But I am feeling like it's Fulham's turn.
Oh yeah, maybe. But I mean. They're only just... I know whilst it's now knockout football to get to the last promotion thing, they're only just sort of scraped in.
How often does that happen? The sixth place team...
Yeah, it seems to happen more than it really should. But yeah. I don't know. I think whilst Fulham might do it this year, I'm actually thinking it's between Reading and Sheffield Wednesday. I think Reading... have been up there.
Well, you've got a Yorkshire derby with Huddersfield and Sheffield Wednesday. And that's not going to be an easy game for Wednesday.
Exactly.
Reading and Fulham, I think the thing is, Fulham underperformed, I feel, in the Championship. But because it's knockout football again, they can easily beat Reading. So okay, it's definitely very close. And I think Reading are probably a better team than all the other three, and they should actually go ahead into the Premiership next season. On paper and on form. But because it's knockout football, we can't say. And as for Huddersfield, once again, they're finished on the same points as Wednesday. They're only 8 points ahead of Fulham. It's very close between those four, five, and six. And Reading are, but I think Reading are clearly better than those other teams, but not clearly not anywhere near as good as Brighton or Newcastle.
No, exactly.
So we'll see. What do you expect? Newcastle, I don't think, will be in a relegation battle should they get promoted. But I think if it's Brighton and our the third promoted side are always going to have a bit of a problem.
I think, yeah, I think the Newcastle probably should have enough there. And they've been in the Premier League. They know what it is. They know what to do.
Yep.
It's not foreign to them. But Brighton and whoever else comes out, I think it's not. It's just not going to...
Yeah,
they're going to have a rude awakening. It's going to be new Fulham mostly. I mean, even if it's Fulham reading that comes
said
up.
But... We said the same thing about Bournemouth.
Yeah, I know.
And we said we say the same thing about teams like Burnley.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's everybody loves romantic fairy tale stories. So maybe Brighton will manage to just escape relegation. I could see them do the a great escape and. Maybe put someone possible. Like Swansea down.
Yeah, well, no, it's definitely possible. Part of it just depends on exactly what squad they bring into the Premiership next year, where the money flows and who they can lure into the club. But, yeah, it'd be one of those... It'd be like when Wolves went up back in the early 2000s, where you're tempted just to sort of go to the TAB and just put that money down on them going straight back down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, at this stage, that is it for us. Hope you've all enjoyed what's been a great season. And it's not yet over because obviously we have our FA Cup tomorrow.
Go Chelsea.
I'm thinking go Chelsea because I think Arsene Wenger, for Arsenal and Arsenal fans' sake, need to lose this game. And we finally bring a new guy in with new ideas because Arsenal... With the resources they have and the players they have, are a team that should be challenging for Premiership. Not just challenging for a top four, challenging for that crown. Not necessarily every season, but at least one in every other season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what you mean.
The fact that they've only finished second once this decade is a ridiculous stat. So I think I'm sorry, Arsene. You've done great, but I agree with the majority of Arsenal fans now. That it is time for you to go.
It is time for him to go. It's been for. All
right. Well, thanks everyone, and look forward to seeing you again next season.
See you next season.